complete our series, Making Changes, this morning. We started a few weeks ago. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse number 32. We'll be looking at those scriptures together this morning. Glad you're here. Christmas time is here. Thank you to our ladies for decorating. Love this time of year. That is for sure. I did find out, it's always good to know that sometimes you don't know who listens and how well they listen. And so I was informed this week that fourth and fifth graders in particular don't always listen to my messages. Somebody told me that was very honest. It was a fourth or fifth grader who told me this. And so I was very intrigued. She said, but last Sunday they all paid attention. And I'm like, okay, I need to hear this. This is important. I'm thinking, oh, what deep spiritual thought have I left with these fourth and fifth graders? She said, when you said the word poop emoji, they all listened after that. So fourth and fifth graders, poop emoji. All right, there you go. So now you can listen the whole sermon. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that bless you? Isn't that bless you? That bless me. I mean, I've made an impact in the future generations by saying poop emoji. Isn't that good to know? You just never know what difference you can make in the life of a child. Acts chapter 20. This scripture, by the way, let me give you a little context here before we dive into it this morning. Paul is giving a farewell address to those in Ephesus. Paul had been here for several years, pouring his life into them, and he's bidding them farewell. He's headed to Jerusalem. Paul certainly has this impending sense that his life on earth is drawing to a close, knowing that things are going to be different. And so he's leaving some words of encouragement to them, and he shares them about what he's done in their midst. And he closes with these words. And of all the things he could have said, this is what he closes with. Look in verse number 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that my working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he'd said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. God, I pray as we close this series, I pray, Lord, you would give the words that I need to share. Lord, it would help every one of us make the changes necessary to be, Father, on mission with you, to be able to use the resources that you have given us to make an everlasting, eternal impact that will far outlast our lives. And God, that you speak to us on these words as much as you speak about the words of heaven and hell, knowing these to be things that we would struggle with as human beings, our resources. God, I thank you for the many who give every single week faithfully and sacrificially. And Lord, for the rest, Lord, that we need to hear these words. And Lord, for all of us, because we all have something we need to hear this morning, would help us in making the changes necessary to be who you've called us to be. Lord, use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in this series called Making Change. We've been talking about four thoughts, right, together. These thoughts, hopefully by now, you've got down pat. You know them like the back of your hand, right? The first one we talked about, and let's all look up here, and you'll look at your outline and cheat, okay? So don't be cheaters. Don't put it on the screen yet. Michael Webb. Are you kidding me? No, I'm kidding. All right, that's good. So you saw them, so let's say them together. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and very good. Outstanding. That is really, really good. Why repeat those things? Because here's what I want you to know. We know things that we repeat over and over and over again. That's why we listen to songs again. That's how we know the words of songs. People say, I can't memorize scripture. You memorize songs. You memorize a song. You memorize the scripture, right? We want these things to be innate inside of you. So we talk about resources and about how, what are we to do with our resources, that these words go deep into our hearts. That really, we really, really genuinely believe, based on God's word, that less is more. Remember we talked about the verse, that one verse that one hand full with tranquility is better than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. We say less is more. How do we have less is more? We talked about three things we have to cut back, right? We need to clear out and we got to pay off. If we're going to be in the place where we understand that scripturally speaking, in order to be where God wants us to be, the first step we have to get to is less is more. The second one is stress is bad, right? Nobody ever says, please, I'd like to be a little more stressed this Christmas if at all possible. I mean, add some stress to my life. Nobody does that. You go to the doctor says, listen, you're having blood pressure issues. Why? Because you're too stressed. Right? So you need to settle your life down, make some changes, right? Easier said than done. But financially, stress brings an incredible amount of stress. It's one of those top four marriage killers. Financial stress causes horrible havoc in a marriage. It causes us to be in bondage. The borrower is the servant to the lender. And so we talked about three prayers to pray to move past this point of stress is bad. We said, God, help me have self-control. God, give me understanding. And God, give me a plan. You have to have a plan. We're going to mention that again this morning from a different perspective. A plan to get out of debt. The last one we talked about last week, that tomorrow really does matter. We talked about investing, not just how you spend your money, but how you invest the resources that God has given you. To do that, we said, don't invest in things you don't understand. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? And don't try to get rich quickly. Right? Now, the idea of, are we supposed to get rich? No, is that the goal in life? No. But is it all right if God blesses us with material things? Yes. The issue is, what do you do with them? Right? How do we get there? Too often, our culture says there's a quick get-rich scheme. You can get rich quick. Do this, do that. And don't worry about all the other financial decisions you've made that got you where you are, right? But we said this one statement, money plus consistency plus time equals wealth. Look, I really believe the Lord desires to bless us. Right? Now, it's not the health and wealth gospel. It's not send me your seed money, your sow money. I'll send you a handkerchief I sneezed in that's holy, and I'll send, God is going to bless you with $1,000 and a bottle of holy oil. That's going to help you, you know, give your pledge, help me buy an airplane, and God's going to bless you. Is that what he's talking about? No. No, but God desires for you to be blessed. And that's not always with necessarily financial resources, that there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself, as long as we're the stewards that God would choose and have for us to be. But look, if God doesn't bless us, then how can we get the gospel to the ends of the earth? Because it takes resources to get people to the ends of the earth, right? We know that already. The goal is $175 million. And that's only half of what the IMB needs in a year. Tomorrow matters. And then today we're going to talk about this, that giving is good. So less is more. It really is. Stress is bad. That's no brainer. We know that. But how do we do that? Thirdly, tomorrow matters. And lastly today, giving is good. Here, the Apostle Paul quotes Jesus. Now, we don't know where this is not recorded in the gospel. So Paul either heard it or it was talked about regularly that Jesus had said these words. You thought it was your grandmother who said this, but it wasn't. It was Jesus. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I mean, if you ever see something from somebody, it's a blessing, isn't it? I mean, think about it. But I will tell you that if I think about the times in my life that I've been blessed, and I have, this church family, y'all have loved on me in some extraordinary ways. Ways that I don't deserve, ways that just blow my mind. You have loved on me and my family. And we're blessed. My kids are so blessed to be the pastor and wife and kids of this church. It's the truth. So many pastors' families live in bubbles, and there's a lot of criticism. It's aimed their direction. I never hear that. And that's off subject, but let me just say thank you. Because I have pastor friends who they struggle because there's so much criticism aimed at them or aimed at their children or aimed at their spouse. Thank you for being a church that doesn't do that. It's a blessing. But you've blessed me. But you know what? I never really think in my mind about though it blesses me when I receive, right? Maybe you think about this in your mind the very first time that you just cried and you were overwhelmed when you got that brand new pair of tennis shoes you've been always wanting. And we just cried all the way home. Oh, these tennis shoes. Maybe it was your first car. Maybe it was your first flat screen television. I don't know. Maybe, ladies, it was that first Coach purse that you got. And, you know, the angels were rejoicing in heaven when I got that purse. Right? But now I don't ever remember stories about that. But you know what stories I do remember? I can remember stories vividly of blessing others by giving and the emotional impact it had on my life. I'll never forget the very first story. There are two stories that are in my mind. I told them both to you, but I'm going to tell them to you again. So my apologies for those ahead of time. My dad, my very first time, got me my first sermon when I was 5. It was a very short sermon. I sat on my dad's knee on the front step of First Baptist Church of Jackson, Mississippi, somewhere around 1976-ish. And we were giving a tithing testimony, my family was. And so dad was going to interview me because my family started us out when we were young. We had our own tithing envelopes. We learned to tithe. We got an allowance. We learned to tithe off that. It was a big deal. So my dad and I, we had practiced this whole deal, how this was all going to work. And so we're going to talk about how God had blessed, all this kind of stuff. So I sit down on my dad's knee, and he asked me the question, son, why do you give? And he sticks that moment, and you know my dad's just beaming because he's just ready for this great, awesome, holy moment. And I said, because you told me I had to. That wasn't quite what he meant. Of course, the place erupted, you know. It's not a bad thing. But I remember that because my parents taught me about that. I was probably 6 years old. I can still remember that. The second thing I'll never forget, my parents taught us to be givers. And we didn't do this very often. I wish I could tell you as a family we did this often. But I remember one day, it was a Sunday. It was just like today. It was really raining. And we didn't go out to eat very often. But we got to go out to eat. And you ready for this, kids? Our treat was to go to McDonald's. Okay, that was our Sunday treat, to go out to eat, right? There was only like two McDonald's in all of Jackson, Mississippi that time. I mean, that's how long ago this was, back in the dark ages. And so we went by this, it was on I-55 on the frontage road right there next to the Playpen toy store there, if you remember Jackson, like way back in the day. And there was a McDonald's right there. We went to McDonald's pouring out rain. I remember my dad had his trench coat on. And there was a guy there eating, or I just had like a cup of coffee. He had nothing to eat. He was very disheveled. He could tell he hadn't had a bath in a long time. He didn't smell good. And I don't know what happened, and I don't know all the conversation, but the bottom line is he ended up sitting at our table eating with us, and we bought him lunch. He was trying to get on a bus ticket to go somewhere, but we decided, and we'd had the conversation, we were going to take him downtown to the Salvation Army. They had a homeless shelter. He got in the car. Well, what you don't know is that about a week before that was my birthday. I don't know if I'd turned maybe 7 or 8 years old, and somebody had given me a watch. Now, it was a very inexpensive watch, I feel certain. It's probably more than $10, but it was like gold to me. I thought it was incredible. And so they gave me this watch. I've been wearing it. So I've been watching my dad. I'm telling this story, moms and dad, because your kids are watching. They're listening. They're observing. They're sponges all the time. And so we're driving down the Salvation Army. I don't know what got into me. I thought, this poor man needs to know what time it is. And I want to give him my watch. But I knew that my mom and dad would probably prevent me from doing that because it was a gift. And so you don't give gifts away that somebody gave you, right? Of course not. But I'm thinking, and so we're literally the whole way from McDonald's all the way downtown, back to downtown Jackson, where we had just left from First Baptist. We go all the way back downtown. It's pouring down rain. And I'm thinking in my mind, how can I do this? I just don't know. So I'm nervous. I'm like butterflies. I'm like, I got to give it. And I'm feeling it. I've got to give this guy my watch. He needs it. He's not going to survive without it. Forget the fact the guy doesn't have a house or has any food. I didn't even think about that. That was no consequence of mine. He just needed this watch. So my dad got out with a guy. We're parked on maybe Capitol Street. I don't know. We're somewhere, one of those streets down there. And they got out. And my moment came. Man, I sprung like a prisoner jumping out of a car. I mean, I jumped out of that car and I ran towards my dad and I said, here, you need this watch. And that guy looked at me like, what in the world is this kid doing? And then this big old smile came across his face. And he said, thank you, son. You keep your watch. My dad said, son, you need to keep your watch. He doesn't need your watch. You know, I got in the car. I was really devastated. I mean, I started crying. To give him my watch. He needed my watch. You know, man, what a great lesson we had that day. You see, I remember those moments. Why? Because we remember the moments we're able to give. It's not what we receive. But see, our culture has tricked us into thinking, and even in Christianity, that it's all about what we receive. Now, at the end of the day, it's all about what Christ gives us. It's what we receive that matters the most. There is no question, right? But as a response to what he's given to us, our call, our opportunity, the incredible pleasure and privilege we have is to give back. You know, my dad was sick and was in the hospital, and we had to do those things that you have to do when parents get sick and take care of them. So I helped my dad go to the restroom, and it was an embarrassing moment, and he made it so much easier. He said, you know what, I'm going to tell you the same thing my dad told me when we were having all these experiences. He said, I never thought I'd live old enough to be able to live to see this day. And we laughed about that. And I told him, I said, Dad, I said, it's just the truth. I said, and my mom, even since this point, because she gets worried because we help her do things. She's like, you know, it's just, I hate to inconvenience you. And I said, listen, I can't ever pay you back for what you did for me. But I want to give back to every way that I possibly can to say thank you. You don't have to do that. I know I don't have to, but I want to. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So how does that relate to us scripturally? How do we make this work out for us to have that deep sense of satisfaction, those moments when you stepped up and you tithe and God rewarded you. Some of you have been telling me stories over the last several weeks. Listen, I started tithing and listen what God did. I couldn't have any money at the end of the month, and all of a sudden I got an unexpected check in the mail that was like from 2 years ago. I think Hattiesburg Clinic has some spiritual undertone somehow. Y'all ever had this? Like 2 years later, you get a check in the mail from Hattiesburg Clinic. I mean, anybody had that happen to you? Watch this. How many of you had that happen before? Look at all the hands. Like, it's always when you need it. It's like, oh, praise God. You know, you get an insurance refund, right? This church has even experienced that before. We remember those moments when God rewarded us in the sense of blessing somebody else, blessing those anonymously, right? Like doing an angel tree. You may never know which kid that it goes to and how it blesses a particular family, but you can be a difference maker because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Why? Because giving is good. Paul says elsewhere in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. When we give people the opportunity to say, thank you, God, right? We have opportunity to say that God provided that. Now, you may have been the vessel through which God used to provide it, but it is God who provided it, not you. Because without God, we wouldn't have anything, right? Right? You wouldn't have nothing. Well, I work hard. You do, but you wouldn't have the ability to work hard if God hadn't given it to you. God gives us these resources in order to be a blessing, to be generous on every occasion. Why aren't we more generous? Well, sometimes we just don't feel like we have enough. You know, I don't feel like I got enough. I'm struggling. I don't have enough to bless somebody else. And sometimes that's really true. Another time is we've seen this message abused, right? If I give, somebody's going to use my money, and they're not going to use it wisely, right? So some people don't give to a church. I'm afraid that there's nobody to do that. Well, we have a finance team to make sure it gets used correctly, right? Some of you may or may not know that I never, ever sign a check. Wouldn't, if my life depended on it. There's no way. We have a finance team who does those things. Finance team who has checks and balances. We have some of those checks and balances to make sure that every dollar that is spent is accounted for. I mean, like, it's like crazy how much we account. Different people are on these teams that don't touch and don't see this. And we make certain that your money, how we handle it, is so above board. It's the most above board church I've ever been a part of in my life. But sometimes we get burned by what we see on TV or what the health and wealth folks would say. Give $100, you get $1,000 back, right? So when we hear giving, sometimes we go to that mindset. The other one is we live with a scarcity mindset instead of an abundant mindset. But be reminded, we serve an abundant God who provides for the needs of his people, often through the needs of other people, and often through other people like me and you. So we have to retrain our minds to understand and remember that God has called us to be generous givers. What it means that we have fulfillment, the joy, the sense of destiny that God used us to make a difference in somebody's life. I love what Proverbs 11, 24 to 25 says on this same idea. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. And yet the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. I say it without any hesitation, any weakness in my voice whatsoever, I promise you, it is a blessing to be able to give. It is. It is a joy that is sometimes indescribable. The only joy I can think of that even comes close to it is when you get to lead somebody else to faith in Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And your world will expand. You will be blessed abundantly. Now, some say, well, if I give 100, am I going to get 1,000? You might, but you might not. But it's not about the financial return, though God promises to take care of us. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I want to give us just four truths this morning. Just four quick truths to help us think about why giving is good and how to grow in our generosity. Number one, and this is 101 in giving, right? Most of you know this, but let's just be reminded. Number one is this. We have to learn to trust God with a tithe. We have to learn to trust God with the tithe. What is a tithe? It comes from the Hebrew word, the word masar. It means one-tenth. Right? You know the old saying, if you make $100, the first $10 goes to the Lord. So every month, this month, first Sunday of the month, we write our check for the month. It is the first check that we write every single month. One-tenth, Leviticus 27:30 reminds us that one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It must be set apart to him as what? As holy. We return it to God as an act of worship. Right? People say, well, doesn't really talk about this in Scripture. In the New Testament, we really don't talk about the tithe, right? Matthew chapter 3, verse 10 illustrates from what it says in Malachi, right? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 23, I think it is, he talked about telling the Pharisees, you do right in your giving, so we should tithe. Now, the New Testament idea would be that we go above the tithe, but at a starting point is a place that we say, God, I want to give you the first 10% of that which you have given me. And by the way, this verse is the only place in Scripture where God ever says, and you may have heard this before, probably have, if you've been in church long enough. Here it is. This is the only place where God says, test me and try me. Let's put it in our vernacular. I double dog dare you. I double dog dare you to tithe and see what I won't do. I've heard preachers from ages gone by, my mentor from ages gone by would say this. He said, I'm convinced of this, that when you tithe, the peanut butter in your jar just lasts a little longer. Your clothes just don't seem to wear out quite as fast. The locust doesn't come in and devour what is rightfully yours. God just seems to make it last longer when we give that which the Lord. And he says, just try me out and see. So I would dare any of you to take God at his word, no matter where you are financially, and say, God, I don't understand how this thing works, but I want to tithe, and here's my plan to do it. Try it for 3 months and just see what happens. You don't know my finances, preacher. You're right, I don't, and I don't want to. God knows where you are, and God knows your heart. Now, there's another way we can talk about doing that. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But I would dare you. I would challenge you to see if God will not prove himself true. I can tell you, I could line up people, a bunch of people on this stage and say, I got to tell you about this time, preacher. I got to tell you about what happened when I decided to step out in faith and I didn't have it, but I did it anyway and God provided. It'll happen. It's not some fly-by-night thing. It's real. But some of you thinking to yourself, no, wait a minute. If I'm going to do that, if we're really going to say that I'm going to like give 10%, I'm going to have to completely rearrange my life, like around God. That's a good thing. It means you have to reorient your priorities sometimes. Sometimes we have to make a decision, some tough decision, say, you know what? Let's take a look at what we're spending. Where's our money going? Right? Now, men, sometimes we're real guilty about this. Some, not all, but some, and I am. I'm one of these. I hate a checkbook. I hate math. I love that little swipey card. And I got a phone now, too. This is amazing. This scares me to death. But I got a phone now. I just put that little phone up there and whoop, it just pops it off the thing. I don't know how that works. That is insane and scary and frightening. But just whoop. And eventually, you know what's going to happen. Everything's going to be on your phone. You won't have the cash will be no more one day. Right? I like that. I don't have to keep up with it. But if I don't keep up with it, then I don't know what's going on in my house. And I need to know what's happening in my house, so it's not on my wife to keep up with all the finances. That's part of my responsibility, too, right? So we have to have a plan in order to get there, and I have to rearrange some things. But it's worth it. I've seen it happen in my life over and over and over again. The very first time I took a mission trip, I was back in 1998, maybe the summer of 1998, I think it was, or maybe the summer of 99. And it was a mission trip. And I love to bless people. I try to give whenever I can. I get so excited about giving. I love to give. I mean, I can hardly stand Christmas time. I mean, really. My wife will tell you, over the years we were married, never once have we ever got, I don't ever wait to Christmas Day. I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's pitiful. Every gift. I'm like, she's like, it's 2 weeks for Christmas. I know, but I just got to give it to you. When'd you get it? Today. I just can't wait. I mean, I'm just wired that way. I love to bless people in giving. Now, I don't mind receiving, but I love to give. Right? And so I was going to go on this mission trip, but I wasn't really sure I wanted to go or not, to be honest with you. I'd never been overseas before, but I've been praying about going to China, a closed country of the gospel. And I'm like, yes, I think I need to go, but I don't have, it was like $2,500. Well, I'm a single dude. I didn't have the money to go. And so I was kind of praying about, do I go, do I not go? And I get a phone call from the financial secretary, like literally the next day, and she says, by the way, just want you to know, somebody called the church office and they gave a check today and paid for your whole mission trip. I'm like, I think God just gave me a word from on high. I think I need to go on this mission trip. I can tell you other things that God has done and rewarded in spite of me, but is rewarded because I've tried to be a giver. I'm not touting my horn. Any of you would give the same kind of testimony that God has blessed you. So you got to start with a tithe. Secondly, you got to learn to plan your generosity, right? Learn to plan your generosity. Now, some of you back in the day, maybe not as much now, back in the day, some of you were like Black Friday shoppers. How many of you love Black Friday shopping? Raise your hand. Wow, not very many of you. Okay, so how many of you went Black Friday shopping this year? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. So you gotta say, okay. You don't like it, you just went because you felt like you had to. Okay. So when you go, whether you like it or not, you have to have a plan, right? And so like in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, we were home for Thanksgiving. You had to pay not for a newspaper, forget the news, just to get the ads that was the size of the state of Texas, like $3 just to get the ads, all right, for Black Friday on Thursday. It weighed like 14 pounds. I mean, I'm not kidding you, this thing was huge. Right? And so we sat on the table, right? And everybody's getting a plan together, looking at, oh, I'm going to go here, we're going to go here. And well, now we don't do that. Now my wife, praise God. Look, Amazon loves the Eubank family. Can I tell you? And the UPS driver loves us as well. We're on a first name basis, UPS. We know them well. We probably should exchange Christmas gifts. We're so on such first name basis, right? The sweet lady comes by, bald-headed lady, she comes by. But anyway, so, well, I'm just telling you, that's my UPS lady, all right? So she's bald-headed. Not many women are bald-headed, but she is. And so, anyway, besides the point, I know. I don't know why I even said that, but who knows? It just came to my brain, so I didn't filter that ahead of time. So, anyway, she comes a lot. You know what my wife does? My wife is like this super shopper. She comes and she says, listen, I found this deal, and I found a coupon code, and I found this, and it's a Black Friday, and it's a super lightning deal, and like a holy tornado deal. I don't know what all kind of deals it was. And if you join this one, you get 15% off, and I only paid like $4, which should have been like $55. Isn't that great? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Does it mean I pay less money? Then yes, that is a good thing. I am all about that, right? I mean, she like has a plan. Like she watches these deals and you order and you do this, you do that, and Amazon boxes, they come by the thousands. Jet.com, that's the new one we found out, jet.com. Wait, well, I found this, you ordered this, and you do that. And even like it went on lightning deal and then it went on sale like the week of Black Friday. So she even called and says, hey, that's $11 cheaper than what you gave to me last week. I mean, she's serious. Got a plan, right? Now, why do I say all that? Listen, some of us, we make plans for all kinds of things, but we never plan our generosity. We don't make a plan for it. We don't prepare for it. If you're going to be generous, you have to have a plan. You just won't happen accidentally. Okay, let's just be generous. You have to make a plan. You have to sit and think about it and pray through it and plan it out. How can make a plan to give more? Isaiah 32:8 tells us this, but generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Generous people plan. It's not accidental. It's not incidental. It is intentional. We plan to be generous. So years ago in our family with Rebecca and I, we heard a sermon and we kind of got really challenged and I was preaching on it that we want to make certain that we gave, that the tithe was not enough for us. We've been doing that for forever. I've been doing it since I was five, right? And so we said, you know, we need to give more than that. We need to give more than the tithe. So for over a decade now, we've been giving over and above that. And then we came to First Baptist and we were giving that already. And then we said, we got to do the outlive your life. So we're giving above that too. Why? Because I want to. We give the Hope Clinic every month. Some of you have different ministries you give. We give the Lottie and all the extra mission offerings and Angel Tree. We do all those things. But it doesn't happen, listen to me, unless you plan for it. You have to plan for it. You have to be prepared in order to make it happen. But it makes a difference. We ask you, again, outlive your life. Many of you did this, and a lot of you, we by the way, I shouldn't even tell you this, but outlive your life stopped officially in May of 2015. It was a two-year campaign we did. We didn't want to do 3 years. We're just going to try to catch us up, and it helped us tremendously, and we were able to finish some space, and we're probably going to launch another one in 2017, so hang tight. But a lot of you, I don't know, but we were getting about $7,000, $8,000 a month. We've taken now about $2,700 extra a month. Some of you just said, you know what, we've already got that in our plan, and we're one of those people. We're already in that plan. We're just going to keep on doing it. Because I think that's what we need to do, because we got space. We got to finish. We want to outlive our life. We're going to continue to give that amount above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. Got to make a plan, though. So I got to start with the tithe. I got to make a plan to be generous. Thirdly, I've got to start being generous right now. I got to start being generous right now. Now you said, no, wait a minute, preacher. You told us to get out of debt first. Yep, but as you get out of debt, you need to start tithing. You start a plan to get you that direction. We'll end that with our last point in a second about how you can do that. But don't wait, because if you wait, you won't do it. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6 says this, and I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things that we have in Christ. I pray we would continue to be a church that practices irrational generosity. Irrational generosity. What do I mean by that? Well, if you know anything about our church, we tend to live from month to month sometimes, it feels like. Now, a couple years ago, we had some really good years. We were in those that outlive your life giving, and our money's a little bit better. But as that campaign kind of subsided and ended, our finances have fallen off a little bit, though we've still grown, just not quite as large. But in the middle of that, we had some tornado relief money that was given. And we decided as a finance team, as a church, we wanted to give $5,000 to Mount Vernon to help them reconstruct their sanctuary. Now, I'm going to be really honest. When somebody came to me and said that to me, I'm like, ooh, they didn't give that money for that. They gave that to us. I think we need that $5,000. At the time, we really did need it. But we felt called. The finance team in particular said at that time, listen, we've been blessed to be a blessing. And look what God has wrought through that blessing, dear church. That's a beautiful thing that God, and it started with that. That's where it started. God blesses generosity. What has our church done? Back in 2012, we were at 3% cooperative program giving. We're now going to be, in this year, we're adding another percent. We're on our goal to get by 2020. We want to be at 10%, back where we were back about 10 years ago. We were increasing. Do we have the funds to do that right now based on what we're seeing and projecting? Probably not. We've added St. Rose Community Church, a small church that has a lot of brand new believers. You don't know jack diddly squat about tithing. And we've added into our budget this year. Do we have it? Probably not. But you know what we believe? We believe in irrational generosity. That when we give, God will bless far greater than we can give. Listen to me, you can never outgive God. Never. Now some of you say, well, have you tried? No, I hadn't tried yet. No, I don't have that kind of money. I wouldn't even attempt it. But as a church, we want to practice irrational generosity. So that we can challenge you and I to do the same thing in our personal lives. Now, when I mean by irrational, I don't mean foolish. I don't mean to not pay your bills. Listen to me. That's not what that means by irrational. What I mean by our world says keep it for yourself. Keep it all for you. Right? But I believe that God will bless us. And I believe God has blessed Petal First Baptist over the decades for that kind of thinking. We know that less is more. We know stress is bad. We know that tomorrow matters. And we know that giving is good. The last one is this, and we're through, is to encourage you to take the next step up the generosity ladder. Take the next step up the generosity ladder. Now, some of you are going, generosity ladder, what's that? Some of you have been here, so you know. We've talked about this over the years, but I want to come back and refresh your memory. But a verse that helps us with this. Let me come back to that in just a second, Michael. Go back to that verse, Proverbs chapter 11. Let's go to that verse. What does it say here? Proverbs 11, 24 to 25 says this. Some people spend their money freely and still grow richer. Others are cautious and yet grow poor. Be generous and you will be prosperous. Help others and you will be helped. It's a biblical promise, right? We bless others. God promises to bless us. So as we begin to think a few years ago, how do we help people who are not tithing at all? Because when you tell somebody, hey, good news, you came to know Christ, now you're going to lose, now just talking just on the flesh, okay? You can now sign up and lose 10% of your income tomorrow. Now what if somebody came into you and your work and said, by the way, tomorrow we're going to take an extra 10% off the top of your check? I mean, like panic. Right? How would I survive? Right? So we begin to realize that might be hard for some people to do. So we went through this series back about 2 years ago about how do we do that. And we encourage people to just take the next step up in your giving. So there's this thing called the generosity ladder, which we just saw. Let's just kind of tell you what we talk about, how you do that. We encourage people who've never given. There are people who step foot inside of our church, in a lot of churches, who've never given one dime to the work of the Lord. Never given one dime back to Him or to the local church. So your step would be simply this, and I would challenge you to do it today. Today. No plan, just do it today. Give something today. If you've never given before, the first step up the ladder for you is simply to give something. The second step up the ladder is to become an occasional giver. You've given before, right? But you only given once or twice. But occasional means that I'm going to give a couple times during the year. Now, I'm encouraging you to plan that out so you know, so you can be able to do that, but become an occasional giver. Now, some of you in the room, you're an occasional giver. And some of you have taken the awesome step of becoming occasional. You become an intentional giver, right? I plan to give Petal First Baptist that gift, those offerings, right? But it's not quite the 10% yet. Maybe you decide I'm going to start at 3% or 4%. And I'm going to add a percent every month till I get to that point of getting to 10%. Because it will be a lot of upheaval to start all of a sudden to go 10%. And I get that. So we want you to work there. Now, some of you can jump straight to 10%. That's awesome. But for the vast majority, you just need to learn and say, God, I want to trust you. I just want to take the next step up. Becoming their first-time giver. Become an occasional giver. Become intentional. That fourth step, become a tither. You're giving intentionally. You give regularly. But you're not tithing at that biblical level that God would call you to. And you can take that next step. And lastly, the last one is to become an extravagant giver. That goes and say, you know what? That's awesome. I've been giving tithes for years. But God, I really believe you want me to give more. More than that. Now, as you take these steps of the generosity ladder, we want to challenge you to think about three buckets in your giving, okay? I kind of call it like the days of Bozo the Clown, the back on the day on WGN when they played that game every morning. Y'all remember that? The teenagers, you have no idea Bozo the Clown is. This is okay. Y'all remember Bozo the Clown, right? The little buckets they had laid out there had buckets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And if you did the ping pong bucket, you got all prizes all the way down the buckets, right? That was awesome. We always wanted to see that happen, right? So we just got three buckets, right? But here's what I want you to know. The first bucket is the most important bucket, not the last one, the first one. The first bucket is our church ministry plan, right? It's one we're about to present to you again, afresh and anew. We encourage you, biblically speaking, you ought to give that to that first before you give to anything else. Before you give to an outside ministry, before you give to Outlive Your Life, before you give to backpacks, before you give to mission trips, before you give to anything else. Listen to me. Before you do that, you need to get to the 10% spot you're giving the church ministry plan. We say that unashamedly and unapologetically. That is God's call for us. I believe that's biblical. I don't believe that's like our opinion. I believe it's biblical. Bring your tithe into the storehouse. So for us, our storehouse is the local church, which is our ministry plan we developed to help us guide our spending for a year. Give to that first bucket first. Then, after that, you want to step up to that extravagant level of giving. Then you can give, for us, inside of our church, two other buckets. The second bucket is Outlive Your Life. It's what we're using to pay the building note right now. But as we get enough resources in the next year, we're going to try to revamp this idea. We want to finish some space. We are out of space. We really, really are. We need to finish this choir suite behind us. And that's going to be the last space we'll complete downstairs and add a couple more bathrooms over here on the downstairs. Once we do that, the downstairs is completed. And then we have to start on the biggie upstairs. How many of you have never been upstairs to the second floor? Raise your hand real quick. Just really quick. Raise it high. Really, really high. I want to see you. Okay? Good. Upstairs, we have 11,000 square feet upstairs that is completely unfinished. It is concrete floors, and it is steel walls and windows. And that's it. And a whole lot of junk gets up there too. A whole lot of stuff up there. I've laughingly told some folks that I'm gonna donate two new windows to the church. Why would I do that? Because they can't open, so we're gonna bust them, and I'm gonna rent four dumpsters. We're gonna slide that stuff right on down to those dumpsters and say goodbye. We're gonna finish the classroom space. Now here's the kicker that makes you go, oh my goodness, it's like $500,000 to $750,000 to finish that upstairs space. We'd have youth space up there, a kick and worship area, students like a. This would be awesome, like a lounge area, like classroom space for you guys. You can hang out, and we'll have classrooms up here for adults, right? We'll all have an adult classes who keep, like, bothering me about having an upstairs classroom. We'll have an elevator, okay? An elevator to go up the stairs, right? We need these spaces, right? But that's got to be above and beyond your church ministry plan giving, right? To help finish space. We need to add more parking. We're averaging about 50 cars more than we have parking spaces on a typical Sunday. Some of you, God bless you, by the way, you continue to park in the grass every single week, even on a day like today when it's wet out there. Thank you for doing that. It makes a difference, so we have open spots for our guests that come. Thirdly, the last bucket we encourage you to give is called the GoFund, helping people get overseas to missions. We try to be very good stewards. Mel does an incredible job of planning and trying to be a good steward of making the trips as inexpensive as we possibly can make them. And then we have a GoFund to help people who say, you know, I really feel called to go, but I just don't have the financial resources to do it. We want to bless others by doing that and helping them get to the mission field, because we believe with all of our hearts, people have to get to the mission field. And it's not cheap to get there. And so you can give through that called the GoFund. But again, bucket number one, church ministry plan, that is the first place we start. And I would challenge you to take the next step up in your giving. How do we do that? How are we going to get to this spot? We're going to trust God with our first and our best. Believe that He will bless the rest. We plan to be generous. Generous people who stand firm in generosity. And we seek now more than ever to start being generous right now. Making changes. What changes would God have you to make in your life? Maybe they're financial. You need to begin to make that plan to take that next step up the generosity ladder. Need to get out of debt. You need to make a plan to get out of debt. You need to get rid of some stress in your life. You need to start cleaning out and paying off, right? And simplifying your life. Less is more. You got to start thinking about tomorrow. Tomorrow matters. You got to start investing wisely with those resources that God has given you so that you can be blessed, so that you can then be a blessing to others. And lastly, that giving is good. Where do you need to begin to make a plan to get to that step? I pray that God would say, would prick your heart. I want to make that plan. The other thing is this. Why do we give? Because God is a giver. God is the ultimate giver. For God so loved the world, he what? Gave. His only son. And the Bible tells us he did this while we were still sinners. Jesus came and died 2,000 years ago before your great, 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 great grandparents were born. Right? God saw through time and saw, listen to me, and saw you. Students, listen to me. Children, listen to me. Moms and dads, listen to me. Grandparents, listen to me. God saw you and said, I want to give my best and the greatest thing that I have, my only son. Why? So that you could be blessed and experience eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do you do that? How do you accept? And here's the deal. You have to simply do something. You can't earn it. You have to accept it. It's the one time we have to receive. God, I receive that gift. I do that by admitting to God I'm a sinner, that I've missed the mark, that my sin makes me fall short of God's glory. And then I have to ask him to forgive me of all of my sins. Lord God, forgive me of every sin I've ever committed, past, present, and future. Lord, I believe that you're a son of God to be, that you love me and gave yourself in me on a cross for me. And the C, confess him as Savior. Lord, I cannot save myself. I know I can't. I've tried and I've just fallen short. And Lord, today I want to commit my life to you as Lord. Watch this now. This is important. Don't miss it. We miss this part too often. We confess him as Savior, but we can't miss the commit your life to him as Lord. So when I commit my life to him as Lord, guess what? He begins to do the transformative work. And that's our passion. That's our calling at Petal First Baptist, is to engage people with the hope of the gospel and not just leave them there, but to see their lives transformed. It means I'm a giver. It means I'm a servant. It means I'm a person who lives authentically, one who lives biblically, one who lives connectedly, one who lives desperately, one who lives evangelistically, and one who lives faithfully. That's what it means to commit your life to him as Lord, the boss. You need to do that today. I want to encourage you. Just a moment, we're going to pray, and I ask you to pray with me. Maybe you need to come join this church family. Maybe you've already professed Christ as Savior, or you've never said, you know what, I need to be baptized, but I've never done it. God, give me the courage to come to do that. Maybe come to this altar and say, you know, I need to make some changes in my life. God, help me to do that. Would you pray with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning as we come to a conclusion of our time and the single most important time of our service, a time of invitation, where we invite you to consider and think and pray, God, what would you have me to do? What changes do I need to make in my life? For those of you who say, you know what, I know I need to trust Christ as Savior and Lord, let me encourage you. Would you just pray a prayer something like this? And you know that God's speaking to your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner, that I am not who I need to be or want to be. But I pray right now, Lord, that you would forgive me of all of my sins and come and live inside of my heart forevermore. I believe that you came and died for me and that you rose again so I could have eternal life. To have a life of joy, both in heaven and even right now. And Lord, I want to tell you that you alone are my Savior. You're the only way. And I commit my life to you, to be the boss. I sign a blank piece of paper, Lord, to say, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, that's what I want to do. Lord, I pray for any person that prayed that prayer would have the courage to come and grab Chris and I by the hand and say, you know what, that's me. Or I need to pray that prayer and I haven't done it, but I want to do that this morning. Lord, I pray for others that need to come and join this church family. For those, that, Lord, who have said, you know what, I've professed faith in Christ, but I've not had the courage. Lord, give them the courage to come. Lord, because in their coming, they may give the courage for somebody else to come, to say yes to Jesus Christ. Lord, may we be obedient to you to make the changes necessary in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us as we worship together? You respond together right now as the Lord leads you. Come right now. Chris and I are in front to receive this altar. It's open to come and pray. You come.
To the earth you came, born into